How about that? Okay, I'll talk louder. That's coming through? Okay, so my name is Brendan, and as we've heard about four times, I'm the WON guy from the WON group at the University of Waikato. What we're talking about today is just a bit of a research update on the things we've been working on the last year. Hopefully some will be interesting to you. We want people to come up and talk to us and give us fun ideas of things to work on and offer to share data with us or let us capture data from your networks. So data makes it fun, questions make it fun, gives us interesting questions to answer. So first up, what we're looking at is the Active Measurement Project. So I can shout a lot louder. Yeah, okay, I'll just hold it here like this. That works? Okay, so the Active Measurement Project was initially set up to run across all the high-speed networks in the States. It was measuring link quality, performance, and as an aid to help the engineers diagnose problems and things on all the high-performance research networks. Recently, Inlana, who was running that and funding that, ceased to exist, and we picked it up, and we've been operating it lately. We've been working on adding many improvements to it, and generally making it do a bit more of what we want and hopefully what ISPs want. So it's a measurement performance piece of software. It consists of three main parts. The client we push out on monitors, which we put in institutions, we put them in ISPs, we put them in POPs. And they're a little box. We can install them in sort of 2-3 minutes. They're all configured, they're ready to go and just be plugged in. So they're responsible for the scheduling of tests. They decide to run it at 3 a.m. in the morning or every day, every minute of the day or whatever. And they actually perform the tests. It's active measurement. They go out there, they collect the data, they sort out the results enough to send it back to the collection server, which makes sure we don't get duplicate data. It just manages it, makes sure it's replicated and safe. And all this is made available by a web interface. It's public, it's freely available. Anybody can look at the data, check out the graphs, download a CSV or whatever, so you can do whatever you want with it as well. And it's all there. So the AMP architecture is mostly run as a full mesh. Each AMPlet tests to each other AMPlet. It'll test to ad hoc targets as well if we like, so we can test to a particular website we're interested in or a particular host that looks interesting. So they all test to each other. They test backwards and forwards at their scheduled times, and all the data gets sent back to the collector, which is where it's stored. And then users come in, they look at it, and this is all running constantly. So at the moment we have 8 monitors on Karen connected sites, 4 of which also test the commodity internet. They're all testing to 6 Karen POPs, as well as a couple of ISPs who have offered to host monitors at their locations. So most of this data is for us. We're interested in looking at what the network's like, how things are going, and if we can find anything interesting there. But Rianne's is also interested, hence the Karen POPs. They like to see that the network's performing as it should. It's performing to a high standard. And of late, we've also been performing some tests for the New Zealand Registry Services, looking at which DNS servers are actually responding to queries and how quickly they are responding. There's also a bit of consulting work we do. Various people are using this as well for their own uses. So AMP can do anything a general measurement system does. We're doing latency tests, we're doing trace routes, that's all pretty standard stuff. We've also got, of late, quite involved HTTP testing, which will look at number of objects fetched and timings for each individual object, mail tests, how long does it take me to send email, how long does it take me to fetch my email, DNS tests, and also because we control both ends of the connection, we can do some other tests. We have throughput tests, which will test between AMPlets. We can look at delay, latency, jitter, loss with a UDP stream, and we can also do one-way delay when we have NTP set up at each site. So here's some normal graphs. We see latency. It's from the university to stuff over a week. There's some strong diurnal variation there as expected. It's a pretty standard graph. Everybody has one of these. A completely different link from Waikato University to Victoria. It's going across Karen. It's no diurnal variation. It's flat. Karen's really nice and fast. But of interest, if you send different size packets, you can see how long each packet takes to serialize. And so the larger packets there actually take slightly longer across Karen than slightly longer to send than the shorter ones do, as on every link. But the fun ones, because we have both ends, we can take measurements from both ends, we know when we sent packets, we know when we received them. So this top graph is a UDP stream. It's sending 11 packets at 20 milliseconds apart, and in a perfect world would have the first bar, the first coloured bar is when the first packet arrived, next one's when the next packet arrived, and so on. These would all be nice flat lines with 20 seconds between each bar, 20 milliseconds between each bar. What we're seeing is not quite so. There's a lot of jitter there. It's sort of fluctuating, sort of 40 milliseconds. It's just a regular home DSL link. It's nothing particularly fast. Down the bottom, you can also see that same DSL link has one-way delay measurements being performed. Incoming data is, it takes about half the time to arrive as it takes to send data. The serialization delay on the DSLs a lot faster in one direction as it is in the other, the asymmetric nature. Some of the NZRS testing we've got is looking at which DNS servers YCAT is speaking to. You can see there's a period in the middle of a few hours where we actually change the server we're talking to. It's a lot further away in the network and we're getting a lot worse performance. This graph down the bottom is a traceroute graph, which is of the same time period as the top one. Each of the coloured bars there is actually a hop in the path. The different colours refer to different hops. So you can see we actually changed, something happened in the network which changed our route. We're closer to the server now in terms of network hops, but we're a lot further away in terms of latency. One of the other new tests we've added is the HTTP test, which we've been targeting to different web servers. This one here is from the Herald, and you can see that bandwidth is fluctuating over the day. This is just another DSL link, so there's contention there, but there's also the Herald itself is perhaps busy. And we're also tracking objects and servers and all the different parts that make up the web page. So they seem to be load balancing across three servers for images and things, and it's a fairly consistent sort of 56 objects on a page. So that's images, that's Flash, that's Java bits and pieces. And so we can track all that. We can track times of how long each object took individually, where it came from, everything about it like that. The AMP system works really well when we have a full mesh across all providers, lots of links. At the moment, we've got the six ISPs as well as the Karen connected locations. It would be really nice to get some more ISPs involved, get a fuller picture of the New Zealand Internet, and see how we can go, just see every path, diagnose problems to every location. Email us if you want to get interested, get involved. You can see graphs there of the actual pages themselves at erg.wan.net.nz. You can click around all the monitors and see what sort of things are available there. So Jamie's going to talk to you about another project we've got going here.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Right. So Brendan's talking about kind of what we're doing, playing in the sort of backbone of the network, and looking at, we put monitors inside ISPs, so we're trying to monitor how your connection to the internet is working and those kind of things. NetTest just sort of drags it back one step. The motivation for NetTest is that we're actually wanting to measure performance of consumer connections. The ultimate kind of question is, how good is the broadband connectivity in New Zealand? And answering this isn't, you know, not in terms of what's the average sync rate, but answering it in terms of what is really actually the users doing and how well is what they're doing actually happening. So we're wanting to measure the last mile access networks. We don't want to just be measuring the backbone connectivity between you all. We want to do this for users directly, so users can actually see what the performance of their broadband connection is, and also to then be able to compare those things to things like, well, am I getting the same sort of performance as other people on my ISP are getting? What are other people in my area getting? Now, area's a bit fuzzy. We'd love to be able to take it down to, you know, other people on my exchange / DSLAM, are they all the same? But it all comes down to what data we can get. We can probably get down to suburbs and use phone numbers and stuff. So how do we compare with all those? Are there areas of the country that are working really well and areas of the country that aren't? And, you know, should I be on a different ISP? is that are there other ISPs that are performing substantially better than the one that I'm on? So those are the kind of motivation points behind what NetTest has done. But it poses a lot of problems for the way that we typically do monitoring. The first one being that there is a much bigger variation in consumer connections than there is on, you know, backbone links. When you get a backbone link, if you get a fiber and it's set at 100 meg, you get 100 meg, more or less. Consumer connections, you know, you're selling one product, but it represents a whole lot of things to a whole lot of different people when they're in different places in the country. You've got, you know, there's a whole host of ISPs, you all offer different plans, and you've got line conditions varying for every single consumer in the country. So how do you accurately represent the country's performance when you've got such a massive amount of variability? You know, if we go and put in monitors like we do for AMP, pick a few connections, put a monitor on them, how the hell do we know that that is representative of what the whole country is doing? The other problem is, when we go and do that, what defines a normal user? What is a normal user? Does anybody really know what one is? And even if we do find out what a normal user is today, how long is it before that normal user does something different? So really what we set out to do, we kind of basically said that instead of actually trying to fake all of this and trying to pick links to on all the plans and all this kind of stuff, we'd actually just prefer to measure the actual users themselves as opposed to trying to replicate a measurement environment outside of that. Trouble is that, you know, small numbers of people actually create really noisy data. You know, if something goes wrong in one specific thing, it can throw all of your results out. So one of the things that you really want with these kind of things is large amounts of data to give you much more reliability in what you're collecting actually represents something. So passive versus active. We use active measurement a lot. You know, Brendan, all of what Brendan was talking about is an active measurement system. But active, you know, we've done this for long enough that we know that active measurement isn't right for all things. And there are people proposing and actively using active measurement to do stuff that we don't think is really very appropriate for. In particular, things that go wrong with active measurement when you're trying to use it on a consumer connection, well, the first one is, the most obvious one, the consumers who are actually running this are paying for the data that you're using. Now, when we put a monitor into an ISP, the amount of data we use is completely negligible. It doesn't even show up on their radar. Consumers who are paying for a 2 gig plan or a 200 meg plan or whatever we're offering on DSL today, they're actually paying for that. And that could seriously bias who we get. If we only get people who don't really have big enough plans that they don't care about the amount of data, then maybe we're actually biasing our results and we're not really representing the country. The big thing with active measurement is you pick a test and you go to a site to do a test. How the hell do you pick those? You know, can you scale a target so that if you get a good portion of the New Zealand customer base running this software, that one target can cope with all the measurement traffic from every customer in New Zealand? You know, scaling those targets is really hard. If you're not scaling it, instead you're going off to test to someone else's, then really we're actually creating a botnet and doing a DDoS by doing all this measurement traffic. You know, it's not being asked for the user, so it's not what the destinations are putting up the sites for. And the other thing is you only end up studying where your actual targets are. So all these things cause real problems with trying to pick where you're actually going to measure things to. If you have a static list of targets and you're trying to represent quality across the whole country, well, you can start to optimize these things a little bit. You know, if we're sending packets every 5 minutes from a host of these connections, it's not hard to find that traffic. It stands out. It's not the same as all the rest of the traffic. And, you know, I'm not saying that anybody would ever do something in an ISP in New Zealand that would play with these kind of results, but I'm just saying you could. And so we're trying to avoid these kind of questions. There's even more problems. Consumers actually use their internet connection, believe it or not, and sometimes they saturate it. If they saturate it, our measurement results would suddenly see a decrease in performance. That decrease in performance isn't decrease in performance, it's them doing what they're supposed to be doing with their connection. So how do you tell saturation that's happening locally from, oh my god, the ISP's upstream is saturated and everybody's getting bad performance? You know, how do you separate these kind of things? And even if you can separate it, how the hell do you present that? So we're trying to get around these things. We don't want to have to model people's behavior. We don't want to have to pick places to do it. So instead, we want to go passive. We want to actually sit there and watch what traffic the customer is actually doing. As soon as you say this to somebody, they go, "Well, you, Big Brother's watching me." So you do have to be very careful that when you do these kind of things, you do it in a very open fashion and in a way that ensures privacy for the users. But still, we're actually monitoring what they're doing. The amount of data we need to use across their connection is vastly reduced because we're getting summaries of the stuff. They're creating our measurement traffic for us by actually doing stuff. So we're only sending back very, very small summarized results. Unfortunately, we can't get everything from passive monitoring, so we still have to get some metadata from the user. So we ask users what ISP they're on, what plans they're on, where are they, what are their phone prefix numbers, so that we can kind of maybe try and tie it to an exchange, those kind of things. So this is what NetTest really looks like. There's a client running on your machine, and it sits there in software with a passive tap on your upstream interface. Because it works on that machine, it monitors everything that machine's doing. If you've got a router with a whole lot of machines, then we kind of can't really see that. You'd have to install it on all of them. But if you've got one computer and a router, then great. We'll see all of the traffic that your machine's off doing. That client takes a whole lot of the statistics based on that passive tap, and it sends all those statistics back to a central site for us to display and use those results. So what do we actually measure? Well, we basically pull apart every single flow that goes across that connection. So every TCP connection we're looking at, and basically for every single flow we collect a whole heap of attributes. There's over 50 of them collected at the moment for every TCP flow. Some of the most interesting ones that you guys are probably quite familiar with, we can pick an estimated round trip time, so how far away is this server that we're actually connecting to. We can look at the number of lost packets, reordered, retransmitted, and duplicate packets. So we can say for that specific connection saw 2% packet loss. And we can differentiate that on a flow-by-flow basis. We keep bytes in and bytes out, and using bytes in and bytes out, you get throughput, so you can throughput and time. And by looking at the packets as they're coming in, we can estimate the reverse hop count, how far away is, how many hops has the packets come back through from before they actually got to us. We take all those statistics, and on the client, we aggregate those into /24s. So we throw away the last octet of the IP address, basically to give them some level of anonymity. We just don't want to go, I connected to this machine on this port at this time. You know, we're trying to avoid those kind of things. They all report that back to us, and then we then take all of those and we actually aggregate them again on the server side into the longest match destination AS based on some BGP fees. So we're ultimately getting a whole lot of statistics from a whole lot of users on every destination AS that they're going to. What's the average round trip time? What's the average packet loss? All those kind of things. So, where are we up to with all this? Well, we have an open source cross-platform client. I think open source is really important. People, if they're going to run this looking at all their traffic, they need to know what it's doing. We're completely open with this. Grab the code, have a look at it. Runs on Windows, Mac OS, and Linux, and you can get pre-compiled binaries, so it's all nice and simple and easy. We have a central server running, collecting all this data and presenting it to people. At the moment, it is presenting data, really. It's just a way of getting access to all of these attributes. It's not really interpreting it in any way, so it limits the usefulness of it for an end user right now. But certainly for technical people who know what all these values mean, you can get in there and have a poke around and see some of these things. We've got a small number of beta testers, probably a few of which are in this room, and if you are one, then thank you very much for helping us out. The client still does need some testing and polishing. The biggest thing it needs polishing for is it needs to have automatic updates. You know, one of the things about getting lots of software installed on lots of clients is you need to have a nice, easy way for that to get updated, because otherwise you're just getting bad data all the time. And we've already had problems with old, buggy clients giving us bad data, causing all sorts of problems. So here's one example of one graph that you can get out of this. And I've got this one because I don't think there's anybody else that has a graph like this from consumer DSL connections. Basically what we've got is we've got a log scale. So it starts at one packet, goes up to a million packets. Yeah, 1 million packets at the top, time across the bottom. And the top line is just the number of in-order packets we see on TCP connections. So obviously the vast proportion of packets arrive correctly in order. But then we've got retransmitted packets, so the orange ones. So that's all the packets that we got that were actually sent multiple times. You know, we've seen both of these, we've seen packets being retransmitted. The red and the blue lines are packets that were received out of order. We received a packet later than we should have. So you know, you're actually pulling apart these things for every TCP flow. This is a averaged across all of the collectors, and so we could then split this down by region, by destination AS, other ASs that we're seeing more retransmissions and more reordering than other destination ASs. So these are the kind of graphs, there's millions of them that you can create, and it's finding a way to interpret this to give people that's going to be the challenge for us. However, it doesn't have to be run in terms of on a client. If you want to run this inside the network, then we can do the same sort of stuff. We can put a net test monitor between the internet and the access network, and it will just look at all the traffic going across that port, all your clients. And the great thing about this is that we now keep those statistics split in two directions. So now you can do the same sort of things, loss, reordering, estimated RTTs and stuff, but you now get them back into the DSL cloud and forward into your upstream. So, for example, you can say, right, what is the estimated RTT for my top 10 destinations at ASs by traffic? Now, could I get closer to my top destinations? Do we have too high a latency to those people? Is there anything we could do to fix this? You can also then look back into the access network and say, you know, what is the packet loss that I'm seeing on all of my DSL customers? You know, are telecom reaching the levels that they're saying they're getting? Are we getting too much of this stuff? Is it spiking? All those kind of things. So it lets you separate those two different areas and look at them as independent kind of things. So where are we going? Well, we've still got the client improvements for the stuff that's running on all the machines. We need to get that to auto-update itself. We need to do all these cool and trendy things that are happening in websites. I have no idea how you do them. We're computer scientists. So we're not web people. But the big thing is to get away from raw data and get into interpretation. Give people actual things that they can tie onto. And if you're going to go out and push this client out to lots of client machines, it needs to be attractive and polished enough to give them something that they want from it. You know, you can't convince somebody to run these things because it's good for the New Zealand network. It needs to be good for them. So we need something to make it look good and attract it for them. And once we're all happy with this, we really need to start getting some users. So basically, we would love some feedback on this. We'd like to know what people think about it. Are you guys keen on data that would say what the performance of New Zealand networks looks like in these kind of things? Do you have concerns about some of the active stuff that's going on at the moment that we think is pretty dodgy? You know, do you share that stuff? Do you believe that some of these measurements that are already going on are good or bad? Anything else that we can kind of find out with this data? Some ideas. So, you know, we're here for the rest of the day. Come and find us, chat to us, and if you want to, then you can come and visit us, or we can come visit you. You know, we'll pretty much go around and chat to people wherever you are if you've got data that we might be able to use. One last thing. For those people who have previously been to NZNOGS and have seen BSOD, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there is a new release of it. Client has been completely rewritten from scratch, heaps faster. It can visualize sort of, with a medium-sized machine, you're getting up to sort of 400-500 megabits of traffic it can actually visualize now, so really starting to get some performance on the client. It's got a nice shiny UI, lots of interesting things. If you've been playing with BSOD before and you want to try it out again, feel free. If you don't know what BSOD is, there's a link there. Go have a look at it. It's quite a fun way of looking at your network, and I think probably everybody that's had a play with it has found it amusing at least a little bit. So, thank you very much. If you have questions for either me or Brendan, now's the time.
noticed that this piece of work you're doing, this is something that the guys at Google have recently come up with, this measurement lab thing. It seems to be attacking a similar area, in that they load a Java client for you and you do tests, although it's on a, you know, you initiate the test,
it's to Google authorized measurement destination points that they put in. There have been lots of big scale kind of things, projects where you can run code in different areas and try and get people to do stuff. I still think that the thing about this that is really interesting is we don't have to predict in any way what users are doing. If users are suddenly downloading a new BitTorrent client and suddenly it's all UDP-based file sharing with BitTorrent written congestion control, we don't have to go and try and fake that. We instantly start measuring it. And that, to me, is the appeal of this. We can just see these changes in what users are doing without having to do any extra work for it. You know, we're actually measuring what they're doing, and that's, I think, the biggest thing for me in this stuff.
No more question?
All right, thank you.